went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 in Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me if you have questions, and I'm happy to answer your questions and happy to talk to you, which is why I'm going to give you my cell phone number. Give my cell phone a call. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to call me, but you want to communicate with me, please don't text me because my phone does not receive texts. But if you want to do the texting type thing, you can text me at my email address, which is docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. Our health is our most important asset, and we need to treat it that way. Our body is supposed to be a temple, and we need to treat it that way as well. And we need to figure out if it isn't working right, why it's not working right, and address the cause of that problem as opposed to treating the symptoms of the problem and never actually addressing the problem. So that's the foundational basis for this show. That's the foundational basis for my practice. It's the foundational basis for everything I do in my life, is to empower people to take better control of their circumstances and their situation so that they can live life on their terms, not on the terms of their health or on the terms of what their doctor says they can or can't do anymore, or what the TV commercials tell you you can or can't do anymore. I think that we should have our own free will. I'm pretty sure that God gives us a thing called free will, and we want to be able to exercise that free will to our heart's desire and not necessarily do it for somebody else's desire. So that's an important point of about our show. Our show is called When Your Health Matters. It's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. So when your health is having an issue and your health matters and you need to get solutions and you need to get understandings, my hope is that you would include me in that process, because I will help you make sense of your problem so that you can wrap your head around it and get in front of it rather than chase it for the rest of your life, which is what we do with diabetes and heart disease and autoimmune disease and cancers and everything else that the medical profession makes a boatload of money off of treating people. We don't want that for the average citizen, my brothers and sisters. We want people to be healthy and exercise that right to be healthy. And the man that helps me do that every week, he's in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a interfaith minister. He's a father of two young ladies, and he's an all-around good guy, and he's the man behind the scenes. He puts the shows together. He comes up with the topics, and he creates the questions and the content that he would like for me to answer for you, the listener. And we're appreciative of Mark, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Thank you so much, Doc Rick. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we think about health care today, and we don't typically really understand or appreciate that healthcare has been around for thousands of years. I mean, I think ever since people have been around, people get injured and they need to treat themselves. And for, you know, in prehistoric times, people probably found plants and herbs and things like that that they could use. But certainly thousands of years ago in Asia, the Chinese came up with some medical theories, and those medical theories have been part of the basis of your practice. And it seems to me that we have only been using the type of allopathic medicine that we are using in today's healthcare for maybe the last 100-150 years.
Well, as far as pharmaceuticals go, it's right around 100 years.
About 100 years.
But yeah, we've been using surgical procedures and that kind of stuff, certainly for battle injuries and stopping bullet holes and lost limbs and that kind of stuff. And there's obviously, if somebody has that level of problem, mm-hmm, you shouldn't be calling me. Mm-hmm. That's not who I help in life. But if you have a generalized health issue, it's important to work with the body. It's important to work with the relationships and the rhythms within the body. And so I have found that it's very hard to argue with 7,000 plus years of tradition versus roughly 100 years of taking toxic chemicals known to have harmful side effects as a primary form of care. I would choose to work with the body and do what the body is designed to do and support the body to do that, rather than suppress and mask and mimic and do some of the things that we do in traditional allopathic medicine that ultimately leads everybody to have some level of surgery. You know, how long do you treat heart disease, Mark?
For your entire life.
Right. How long do you treat your blood pressure?
As long as you live.
Right. How long do you treat hormonal imbalances?
That's something that's a lifetime prescription.
Right. And so at the end of the day, you know, things like diabetes or autoimmune disease, you pick anything that you want. If you go to the medical websites and you look at them and you look for mechanism of cause, 9 times out of 10, the website's going to say, well, we don't actually know what causes this.
Mm-hmm.
And my perspective is if you don't understand the mechanism of cause, what business do you have getting involved in trying to remedy it?
That's so true. I mean, yesterday in one of the classes that I teach, one of my students was talking about the fact that he had been given a medicine for some kind of a skin condition that he had, and he started taking the medicine, and his hair started to fall out. And so he went back to the doctor, and he said, my hair is thinning. And the doctor said, well, that's one of the side effects. And he said, you didn't tell me that when you gave me the medicine.
I might have made a different choice had I known I was going to go bald from taking this medication.
Exactly.
For my skin affliction.
Exactly. And another one of them was talking about the fact that he had been given medicine for arthritis, whatever the typical medicine that he was given. And then after a few weeks, his stomach started giving him all kinds of trouble that he hadn't had before.
Right.
So it's very common that when we use something as severe as a medication that is a highly, microscopic kind of formula that's there to do some particular thing, that there are unintended consequences to that. And it's not supporting the body. It's trying to contain or suppress what's happening.
It pushes or it pulls the body in a particular direction without any understanding as to what the consequences of pushing or pulling the body in an unnatural way. And my perspective is if you treat the body and work with the body and work in harmony with the body to return it back to normal and to alleviate whatever the lack of ease or the dis-ease is within the person, then the body has the ability to fix itself because we are a self-healing mechanism.
That's true. You cut yourself, you heal.
Exactly. And so my contention for the listener, if you're a new listener, I appreciate you listening, is to get a sense of answering the most important question that you could ask when you have a problem is not what do you have, but why do you have it? And if you address the what always goes away.
And you know, one of the things I want to talk to you today, because we're now into February, and as you said, you look at the rhythms of the natural cycles, and one of the things out of the 7,000-year tradition of Chinese medicine was that they looked at the various organs, and they associated them with various times of the day and also times of the year. And now that we're in February, the organ that's associated with this time of year is the bladder, which is also correlated to the element of water. So can you describe a little bit what the function of the bladder is for your health?
Well, the bladder is the holder of urine that is excreted by the kidneys and collects in the bladder before one chooses to urinate or void their bladder. But the bladder has a lot of other relationships. If you use the acupuncture meridian circuit, which is the energy circuit associated with the different organs or different glands, the bladder meridian itself runs parallel on both sides of your spine. And so it is highly related to your spine. The bladder sits within your pelvis and right behind your pubic bone, which is where things come together in the front. So they sit right behind the pubic bone. In women, there's the uterus that sits behind the bladder. So when a woman is pregnant and the uterus starts to expand, what ends up happening is you put pressure on the bladder, which causes you to need to evacuate or void the bladder more often. And that's a reason why women who are pregnant have a tendency to use the bathroom more. And so it's the relationship of where the body, where the bladder is within the body and the relationships energetically that the Chinese figured out some 7,000 years ago, all those relationships are important. And the bladder is certainly more than just a storage container that the average person thinks that it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, it would be typical. You would think that it's just there to hold the excess urine in your body until you're able to use a bathroom.
Right, and it's much more than that from a holistic perspective. But, again, I can appreciate how one might think that it's just simply a storage container for the liquid wastes that are coming out of the body.
And I believe that the bladder is in the Chinese medicine is the longest or one of the longest meridians in the body.
It is one of the longest meridians, and like I said, it runs straight up both sides of the spine, and so when you get an imbalance within the liver meridian, it could affect your spinal health, which really ties in with what we do here as licensed chiropractor, but I take it significantly further than just making adjustments to the spine. It's about all the relationships within the body. And so this time of year being the time of year where the energy is highest in the bladder, if you have bladder issues, this is the best time of year in which to address them because you're working with the natural energy that supports that particular organ.
So one of the things we talk about quite frequently is the amount of water that a person should be drinking every day. And you recommend that for every 50 pounds that you weigh, you should drink a quart of water. And if you're drinking all that much water, how often are you going to have to go to the bathroom in the course of a day?
Well, initially, if you're not used to drinking water and you put an extra amount of volume of water into your system, then yes, initially you're going to use the bathroom more. But as your body starts to recognize that it's getting this new influx of water, it's going to ration it and it's going to use it for healing and health purposes. And the interesting thing is anytime somebody gets admitted to the hospital, what's the first thing they do for them, Mark?
They hook you up to an IV and
they give you fluids. And those fluids, they know that if you're in the hospital with any level of symptom whatsoever, that you're dehydrated. So the first thing they want to do is rehydrate you. And once you're rehydrated, then they can evaluate what's going on with you because you're in a more natural, balanced state. But since most of us are walking around and we drink things that aren't water, we drink anything that has something other than water in it, like a soda or like, you know, a fruit juice or one of these sports drinks or any of those kinds of things, all of those drinks actually cause you to lose water in the process of digesting whatever it is that you're drinking. So water is water, and anything that is added to the water makes you lose water in the process of trying to pull the water out of it. And so most of those drinks are actually dehydrating for the person other than water. Water will hydrate you. Anything that's not water will dehydrate you.
Now, one of the things that we've spoken about before is you mentioned people in certain professions like teachers who are in the classroom for extended periods of time and may not be able to use the bathroom. Is that something that can create problems for somebody with their bladder?
Absolutely, because if you spend an excessive amount of time and energy holding your urine, you will create bladder weakness over time because you're asking the sphincter at the bottom of the bladder that helps to keep urine from passing out through the urethra. You're causing that to squeeze down. It's interesting. This came up in the class I taught yesterday specifically about bladder health, and a woman in the audience asked specifically about Kegel exercises. And I said Kegel exercises are wonderful, and they will help to start to strengthen the bladder mechanism. Mm-hmm. But if you're a teacher and you're spending and you don't have time between classes to go to the bathroom simply because you always have to be on top of your students, I have lots of teachers that develop bladder weakness when they get into their late 40s, early 50s. And, you know, I'll find it in the examination and they didn't even mention it to me. And I'll say, you have bladder weakness. And they're like, well, how would you know that? And it's like, well, this particular reflex indicates that you have a bladder weakness. And they're like, that's fascinating that you should understand that. And it's, you know, it's like, okay. So the nice part is there's things that can be done. If you practice Kegel exercises, which is essentially what you have to do to stop a stream of urine, mm-hmm. in the middle of voiding urine, you would stop that stream by tightening those muscles. That will help to strengthen those muscles and give you a little bit more control. The other thing that we can do for people who have issues, which we'll probably get into later in the show, is we have some, there's a specific adjustment and there's some specific food supplements that will help to strengthen and make the bladder empty on a normal normal basis.
Mm-hmm. So can you describe a little bit, and we talked a little bit about it, but what's the difference between the organs function and the energetic function of the bladder? I'm not sure that it's easy to understand what we talk about when we talk about energy.
Well, all of us are energy, Mark. We are energetic beings, and when the energy vibrates at a particular frequency, you can visualize it, and it takes on the form of solid matter. So we are energy—we are spiritual beings, energetic beings, but we have a physical human body that we occupy as mm-hmm. a spirit. So throughout the body, there are different energy circuits, which the Chinese have called, in the Chinese five element theory, they call them the meridians. And those meridians are affiliated. Each energy channel or meridian is associated with a different organ or a different gland or a different tissue. And so when you're dealing with the bladder, the organ itself, there's a circuit of energy that flows throughout the body and goes right up the spine on both sides. And there's a way to use that circuit of energy to help restore balance to the organ itself or to the gland itself or to the tissue itself. And since we're talking about the bladder, if you stimulate the bladder meridian, if it's low functioning, if the bladder is functioning at a low rate, you can help to increase the energy and increase the flow and increase the functioning of the bladder. If the energy is too high in the bladder, okay, then you can do something to help lower the energy within the bladder and make it function in a more balanced way. So when you're dealing with health, you either are overstimulated or you're understimulated. It's like, okay, everybody can appreciate with a thyroid, some people are hyperthyroid and some people are hypothyroid. And I'm going to tell you that if you're hypothyroid, there was a time where you were hyper before you were hypo, because the body's going to go from normal to a hyper state before it burns out and then results in a hypo state. And sometimes doctors will be like, well, you're just going to end up becoming hypothyroid, so we're going to burn your thyroid up and we're going to put you on medication to treat hypothyroid even though you're not fully there yet. And it's, you know, there's ways to recover something if you intervene in the right way versus suppressing and altering with surgery or that kind of stuff.
So now you talked about the fact that this meridian goes on either side of your spine. So would that mean that you can associate various forms of backache with the bladder meridian or vice versa?
Yeah. When a patient comes to me and they have back pain, I'm going to look at three or four major organs. Okay. I'm going to look at the large intestine because that's the most abused area. Okay. The large intestine regulates low back function. Okay. I'm going to look at the kidneys, which regulate low back function. I'm going to look at the bladder, which regulates low back function. And if any of those are all working properly, okay, worst case scenario, I'm either going to look at the gallbladder or I'm going to look at the adrenals. But that's basically the hierarchy of what's going to go on. When a person gets low back pain, the first thing I'm thinking is large intestine, because we abuse the large intestine with all the microbiome issues that we've talked about over the years, the dysbiosis that goes on that affects the microbiome, which causes abnormal physiology, which creates inflammation in the bowel, which is translated right to the low back. Associated with that secondarily would be kidneys. Now, the kidneys and the bowel work together to maintain fluid balance. So if the bowel isn't pushing things through appropriately and you're constipated, that means that the kidneys probably aren't getting enough fluid and they're sucking whatever fluids in the body out of the large intestine in an effort to take care of the kidneys, which has a higher priority. The counterbalance to the kidneys, as we're learning right now, is the bladder. So there's a relationship between the kidneys and the bladder. And what we want to appreciate is that, okay, you want to look at the dynamic of all the organs that are associated with and regulate the musculoskeletal functioning of the low back when a person gets low back pain. So you would want to look at all the organs and glands associated with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another type of pain that a lot of people come in and complain called sciatica. And that's a nerve that runs down, and it can go all the way down from your hips all the way down to
your
feet.
Your feet, exactly. And so when one gets sciatica, the sciatica itself is regulated by two muscles called your piriformis muscles, where the sciatic nerve goes right out underneath those muscles, and those muscles attach to the inside of your sacrum. The sacrum is the triangular bone that sits between your butt cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that bone itself is controlled and regulated by your bladder.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting, if a person gets sciatica, one of the things that I want to consider is taking a look at what their bladder's doing. Now, I know from experience that it's probably more a hormonal issue, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to ignore the potential bladder component in the process of evaluating, not that they have sciatica, but more importantly, why do they have sciatica?
So what would be a reason that somebody would have sciatica that's related to the bladder? What kind of function?
If they have some sort of bladder infection, if they have, a distant relative of mine died of bladder cancer, you know, you could have slipped and fallen on your sacrum, on your tailbone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a little bit cold up here in the north, but, you know, you could slip and fall on black ice and land on your butt. That could knock your sacrum out of place and now automatically start to give you bladder symptoms.
So the functional misalignment of the bones could actually affect the bladder versus, and the bladder, if that's not functioning, like if you have a bladder infection, that could also lead to these problems.
Right. It's a two-way street, and the question is, well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the bladder or the sacrum or the bladder? And having the ability to discern between the two, if you address the primary one, then the secondary one goes away on its own.
Mm-hmm. So in your process of attenuating somebody's health, in that answer to the question why, which you say is the most important question, is when you look at, well, you have this problem because you fell one day and
well, that
and
would be
yourself.
Simple. If the person comes in and say, I fell on my butt and now my sacrum hurts and, it's embarrassing to say, but now I've been wearing Depends undergarments and that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, so yeah. Unwinding what it is that they did to themselves and helping them make sense out of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my patients are really, really appreciative of the fact that I take something that they think is really complex and I simplify it for them so that they now feel in control of their situation, which is where the control should be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones creating the problem. My job is to help facilitate them remedying their own problem. And I'm going to have to interact with them in order to do that, especially if they wait too long. And when they come to see me, you know, this problem's been here for 15 years and now they want to, for some reason, they're motivated to come see me.
Yeah. I mean, the sooner you can get in, the better, obviously, especially on an injury or something like that.
Right. And if you are maintaining your body regularly, health maintenance, if you're doing a health maintenance program, then guess what? You don't get injuries because your body's always in a heightened state of function.
And when you mentioned the fact that you could have a bladder infection, but would you not know that you had a bladder infection? I mean, is it possible to have an infection and not know it, not have any symptoms?
Oh, you're going to have symptoms, but here's the thing. When you have a chronic low-grade infection, okay, that causes you to have excess amounts of urination, and there's not really burning associated with that urination, you wouldn't necessarily know that you had a bladder infection. But you may get pain associated with where the bladder is, and then if they do a dipstick or they do a urinalysis and then they look for bacteria, then they may find that, well, you got a plus one grade bladder infection, and there's some abnormal cells in your urine and some bacteria in your urine, so we want to give you an antibiotic to get rid of that infection. My thought is again, that's what you have. You haven't addressed why the person got it.
Why you got the infection in the first place.
My job is to help the person understand not only what they have, but what was the mechanism for why they have it. And again, if you address the why, then the what goes away on its own without a lot of medical intervention, because you're helping facilitate the body to do what God has designed the body to do. We have an immune system that should help us fight infection. We have a pH system that helps us keep things in a particular pH. And when you have an acidic pH, okay, you can't grow any bacteria. When you have an alkaline pH, now bacteria is going to flourish. So if you acidify the urine, okay, and there's various products out there that will help you acidify your urine, then you won't get a bladder infection. But if you're eating a lot of carbohydrates and a lot of refined sugar, then that raises the pH, leading more towards an alkaline environment, and then now you're going to grow bacteria.
So this is all, it's all interrelated. Well, this is a fascinating conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to ask you some more questions about bladder health.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. That's this little contraption that's in my hand as we speak. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. Please don't text me. I would rather you email me, or I would rather you actually call me, because I'm the kind of person that actually wants to talk to somebody, not talk at somebody. So I would appreciate that. So today, Mark and I, we've been talking about the important organ known as the bladder. The bladder is more than just a container, and we're learning a little bit more about the bladder, and I think Mark wants to go a little bit deeper into the bladder.
Yeah, I would like to, you know, the kidney is a really critical organ. We were talking about that last month in January.
Most important organ in the body.
Yeah. But now the bladder works in conjunction with the kidney.
The bladder works in response to the directions of the kidney.
Mm-hmm. So how do they interact or interrelate?
There's two-way communication. The kidney is the primary organ and the bladder is the secondary. And when the kidney sends signals to the bladder, the bladder is supposed to respond. And what's important is the fact that that communication has to be open and flowing. Now, the urine will flow once the kidney manufactures the urine will move down through the ureters that connect the kidney to the bladder and empty into the bladder. And then the bladder is there. It's got a flexible muscle in the middle muscular layer that has the ability to expand and contract in a way that allows the bladder to fill with fluid, and it continues to stretch until it gets to a certain point. Then you're going to get a signal to void, and then you'll empty the bladder. And if the bladder's in the right position, you can empty the bladder completely. If the bladder has some issues with it associated with some surgical procedures or some weakening within the ligaments that support the bladder, then you can get bladder weakness and bladder sagging, and then you feel like you don't empty your bladder every time that you go to use the bathroom. Why? Because the bladder sagged a little bit, and then the bottom of the bladder sits below where the opening of the urethra is, so not all the liquid drains the way that it's supposed to. So they have things like bladder slings and surgical procedures that they can do, and there's also a procedure that I do that will help to put the bladder back where it belongs, and we support them with some nutrition, and then we get rid of their bladder weakness, and then they can void their bladder in a normal fashion.
Well, that's important. That's interesting because, you know, I know that in Chinese medicine there's a distinction made between the organs that are solid, like the kidney
mm-hmm.
and the heart, and then the ones that are hollow, like the bladder and the gallbladder.
Right.
Can you describe a little bit about what's going on with those two distinctions?
Well, one is a yin organ and one is a yang organ, and the yin and the yang depends upon what is the active versus what is the passive as far as the organs go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the relationship. The active organ is the main filter, which would be the kidney.
It's got to be solid.
The passive organ mm-hmm. is the container that the work of the kidney would actually go get stored in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like the liver and the gallbladder, same exact relationship. So the liver creates does all the primary work, and the gallbladder does the storage for all the work that the liver manufactured. And so it's just the relationship between the two is one is active and one is passive. And so
mm-hmm.
The Chinese and the traditional Chinese medical terms for it is the yin and yang within the that system.
Now, another thing that's very interesting about the Chinese approach to health is that each of these organs now associates with certain emotions. And I know that this is something that affects how you deal with people, and you understand the relationship between the emotions. Can you describe a little bit what kind of emotions are associated with the bladder?
You'll feel a sense of paralyzed will, meaning that you can't do the things that you want to do, a sense of feeling miffed or timid, some shyness or inefficiency, a sense of wishy-washiness or, what the French would say, comme ci, comme ça, kind of meaning whatever. And we need to be aware of the kidney emotions of fear, dread, bad memory, and contemplation, or a sense of impending doom. All of these emotions will impact how the kidney bladder function. And the kidney is the primary, the bladder is the secondary. So if you have tremendous fear, like if you scare a little kid,
mm-hmm.
what typically happens?
Oftentimes they'll wet their pants.
They wet their pants. That's mm-hmm. because the kidneys let go and the bladder didn't get in the way of it because you were trying to release that energy. And unfortunately, that causes one to release the urine that's being held in the system, and you end up wetting your pants. And, the psycho-emotional reason for that is very, very easy to understand and very, very easy to relate to. But when a person walks around, I actually had a patient this morning I was working with who, you know, he's made some choices in life, and he's got involved in the past. He got involved in the drug trade, and he's trying to turn over a new leaf, and he's doing, but at the end of the day, we discussed specifically this morning the fact that he's got some kidney weakness. And so why would he have kidney weakness? Well, fear, dread, contemplation, impending doom, those are the primary emotions of the kidneys. And if he's living a lifestyle where he's got to always be looking over his shoulder for Johnny Law, you know, you're living in a constant state of fear. And he said, yeah, you know, I never go home the same way. I'm always taking a different way to go home, because in the back of his mind, he was figuring. And the nice part is that he's moved away from that lifestyle. And he's doing, I really appreciate the fact that he's in my office, because, you know, he's very open with me. And he's like, you know what, I've made some decisions, but you know what, I had to do what I had to do to support my family. And I'm, you know, he's taking responsibility for it. But it doesn't surprise me that he has a chronic kidney weakness, because he's lived for 20 plus years in constant state of fear and constantly having to try to control how not to get caught by the long arm there. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, so it's fascinating for me to see these kinds of relationships where here's the emotion that he's constantly under, the sense of impending doom. And how I describe the sense of impending doom for some of the elderly population is, you know, when you would hear a bomb that was coming out of a plane, it has that little whistling sound, and then the whistling stops, and then there's a slight delay before the explosion happens. Well, that time period between where the whistle stops and the actual explosion happens, that time period in between is how you would perfectly describe impending doom. It's like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. You know something bad's coming. It's like when you do the jack in the box and you get close to where the jack is going to come out, and you kind of slow it down, and the little kid's sitting there, and they're kind of afraid of the thing coming out. And you know, that's really what the relationship's about.
Interesting. That's so interesting. You know, the fact that the emotions have such a profound effect on the body, and the body can have such a profound effect on the emotions, and we actually are emotional creatures. So it's important to appreciate how much those relate to your health.
Absolutely.
Now, you kind of got into this a little bit, but there are a lot of commercials out now about incontinence. Is this becoming a bigger problem today?
Well, it's a bigger problem. All problems are going to get bigger simply because we don't take in the required nutrients necessary to support the body to heal and do its normal functioning. Because we have so much crap food, that completely refined and processed foods that they make available to us and they call food. No, it's kind of like food stuff. Because we're having foods that have long shelf lives, the vital component of that food, which is perishable, which spoils over time, has been removed. So where all the nutrition lives has been removed from the food. So we're getting leftover carcasses of incomplete processed food stuff, and it doesn't help the body repair and rebuild itself. And so bladder incontinence, overactive bladder, all of these things that they're all related to the bladder, they're becoming more and more common because of the lack of quality ingredients in our diet. And what's interesting is when I supplement somebody with the appropriate bladder supplements for their condition, and their condition goes away without having to get some sort of Depends undergarment or getting a bladder sling put in or whatever it is that the medical profession would want to offer, people are really appreciative, because now they don't have to turn their life upside down and be embarrassed when mm-hmm. they have, you know, leakage issues and that kind of stuff.
It's interesting. Is this a problem more for women or for men? Or,
well, it's more of a problem for women, unless you're a man that has had your prostate, had issues with your prostate. And if you have prostatic hypertrophy, benign prostatic hypertrophy, or if you have prostate cancer, if they go in and they remove your bladder, there's a chance, and doctors are getting better and better and better at this, but there's a chance that they could irritate or interfere with the neurological impulses that control the sphincter that keeps the bladder closed. And if you damage the sphincter, then you're going to get leakage. In women, it's easier because they have a much shorter urethra. Mm-hmm. Okay. In men that have a penis, there's a much longer urethra. So mm-hmm. it's easier for women to have issues because there's a shorter urethra that infection can go up in there. And the length of that urethra itself is really, really short. Whereas in men, it's longer. So there's less likelihood for a man to develop these kinds of issues. But they do develop them, especially if they've had issues with their prostate.
Now, you mentioned also that during pregnancy that a woman typically finds that she has to go to the bathroom many more times. And is that simply because having a baby?
The proximity of the uterus, which sits right behind the bladder, when the uterus is going to grow, mm-hmm. it can either grow into the back end, which is pushing up against the sacrum. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that can create constipation or avoiding your bowels problematic. But the uterus grows forward. Mm-hmm. It grows forward and then it grows up. And so you're going to put pressure directly on the bladder, which is going to get pinched between the uterus and the pubic symphysis, which is why the woman who's pregnant is going to have less and less ability to hold her urine and is going to have to urinate more.
But are there also hormonal changes that happen that affect the bladder during pregnancy?
Well, there's hormonal changes that take place that affect the whole body. There's a hormone called relaxin, which helps the ligaments within the pubic bone to relax so that mm-hmm. the pubic bone can expand to accommodate more room that's required in order to support a fetus being in the uterus. So we need to open some things up and we need to get some more flexibility in the hips. So the body produces this hormone called relaxin that allows for the expansion of the pubic symphysis and allows for more flexibility in the lumbosacral joints. And the sacroiliac joints. And it becomes important for women to understand that when you have this hormone circulating throughout your body, it can affect your whole bladder urinary system, because now if you've got more pressure on your sacrum and the sacrum's associated with the bladder, then you can develop bladder symptoms, but also because the uterus is expanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember you mentioned a few minutes ago in the earlier segment that the large intestine will absorb water. If you're depleted of water, your large intestine actually has the ability to absorb water. So it's not just going through your intestinal tract or the upper intestinal tract. If you need more water,
large intestine's primary function is to either let go of or retain water, and that's under the direction of the kidneys. So mm-hmm. if the kidneys say, you know what, we don't have enough water, we need some more water, let's give a call down to the large intestine and tell the large intestine to work diligently to pull any liquid that's in the system out as quickly as possible. And ultimately, when you dry out your fecal material, that leads to constipation. And so people who are typically constipated, you want to have your kidneys function looked at, and you want to make sure you increase your fluid intake,
mm-hmm.
meaning
mm-hmm.
water.
Meaning water, right. When you look at your urine, it can be anywhere from a darkish yellow to a almost translucent color. What does that tell you? How does that inform you about bladder health?
Well, what's going on with that is if your urine is a bright yellow or even an orangey color, the darker the color of your urine, mm-hmm. the more dehydrated you are. The lighter your urine is, or even if your urine's clear, then your hydration levels are a little bit, they're not even a little bit, they're significantly better. And so staying properly hydrated, you can get a good indication of how your hydration level is based upon the color of your urine. If you're not urinating regularly throughout the day and it's not clear, then you're probably not drinking enough water. Now, if you take certain B vitamins and you go to urinate, you're going to see a fluorescent yellow urine that comes out. That's the B vitamins, your body excreting those B vitamins. But in a perfect world, they should be different shades of yellow associated with going from clear all the way to a pretty dark yellow associated with the colors of your urine. And the darker the urine is, the less hydration you have, the more dehydrated you are, the more need for water you have as a result of that.
So you could tell your need for water
right.
just from that. Well, this is a very interesting conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions about some of the other things that might be affecting someone's bladder health.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? worried it might get worse. Worry you will never be able to do the things you love anymore. Worried your life is slowly slipping away. Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. Best way to get a hold of me is give my cell phone a call. That's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can always email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. However you get a hold of me, I'm just here to answer your questions. That is my passion. That is my purpose. So if you have a question that's needs resolving because your medical doctor may not have answered it to your satisfaction, I'd love to have a conversation with you and get the answers that help you the most. And so we've been talking today about bladder health, and Mark, you have, I'm sure you got some more questions.
I do. I mean, we talked a little bit about how some of the indicators that you may have some issue with your bladder, some of the backache problems, and you also mentioned bladder infections. And one of the questions that I'd like to get your perspective on is, how do you treat those things without using drugs?
Well, it depends on what the person is presenting with, okay? If it's some sort of infection, some sort of pathogen, whether it's a parasite, whether it's a fungi, whether it's a bacteria, a virus, a viron, whether it's due to aflatoxins, mycotoxins, there's various food supplements that help strengthen the body so that the body can naturally combat those things. So I don't treat pathogens directly. I treat the body, and I let the body do the job of getting rid of the pathogen on its own. And so we do that by supporting the body with specific nutrients that will help the body do the job that it can't do because it's lacking the ingredients. So we have a supplement that actually acts as a natural antibacterial. We have a supplement that actually acts as a natural antiviral. We have a supplement that acts as a natural antiparasitic. We have supplements that are natural yeast fighters and candida removers. We have probiotics that we use to put back good bacteria to help restore balance to the microbiome. We have things that can help acidify the urine. We have things that can help to alkalinize the urine, depending upon whether their bladder infection is a bacterial or a viral. We have tools, depending upon what the person's dealing with, that will address whatever it is that's creating the problem. And when you address the appropriate relationship with the proper ingredients that are going to get the body to do the job, as opposed to a medication that's going to mask or push or pull it in a abnormal direction in order to restore balance, I'd rather do it naturally. I'd rather do it using food. I'd rather doing it using herbs or maybe homeopathics. Long before I would consider referring somebody out to go get medicines for whatever.
Well, you mentioned a number of different things that could be the cause of the problem. So how are you able to discern which the particular issues is causing this bladder imbalance for
somebody? Well, we have a methodology of testing people. It's called manual muscle testing, which you're aware of, but the listener may not be aware of. Manual muscle testing is a form of neurofeedback that allows us to communicate with your body, and we can communicate directly with your bladder or directly with your kidneys or directly with your ureters or directly with your urethra, or if you have prostatic hypertrophy and that's creating bladder issues. issues, we can ask the body the questions and the body will tell us. And then once we know that there's an imbalance, then we're going to ask the four or five main questions associated with the imbalance. Is it due to pathogens? Is it due to foods? Is it due to heavy metals? Is it due to environmental factors? Is it due to potential scarring associated with? Is it a structural imbalance? Is it an allergic imbalance? Is it an emotional imbalance? Is it a physiological imbalance? Is it a spiritual imbalance? So we have the way to ask the body all of those different questions, and depending upon what shows up as being related to the problem, then we will address whatever the relationship is, and it could be any one of those things that I just mentioned. It could be a nutritional deficiency. It could also be a toxicity. It could also be an emotion. It could also be some sort of karmic spiritual imbalance. And when you address it appropriately, then you restore balance, and then the body goes back to doing what it's supposed to do.
And so the information is coming directly from the person, not from tests and other things.
Well, the test is what we use in order to get the answer that the body is generating from the person that we're evaluating.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a form of neurofeedback, and the nervous system has no ability to lie. And so when you know how to ask the questions and you have a good tool in which to ask the questions, then you're confident in the results that you get. And when you apply the appropriate solution, people get better.
Mm-hmm.
And they get better pretty quickly.
Uh-huh. Well, that's important to know. I mean, because anybody who is having, you know, a bladder problem can be an embarrassing problem. That could be something that, you know, people really would like to get dealt with. And the idea of not having to go through medications or to go through surgery and have something that you can use to let the body, as you say, for the body to heal itself, as opposed to putting in something that's going to suppress the symptoms that you have so that you maybe you might initially feel better, but you may have other consequences in the long run.
Right. And the thing of it is, you know, the Hippocratic Oath says to first do no harm. So if you're working with the body and its ability to take care of itself, and you stimulate the body to take care of itself, then you're not going to do any harm to the body. But if you're trying to push or pull the body into doing something that it's not currently doing by giving it a toxic chemical or doing some sort of surgical intervention, how are you not doing the body harm? You're violating the Hippocratic Oath. And that's the thing that has become so commonplace in our society that people don't even know. The second the doctor writes you a prescription, if they don't know exactly everything that's going to happen by giving you that prescription, then in essence they're violating their Hippocratic Oath, because now they're taking a shot in the dark and they have no idea what the consequences are going to be. And you couldn't ahead of time, because everybody's different. The nice thing is that we have the ability to ask the question, is the body okay with this, or is it going to create an imbalance? If it creates any level of imbalance, Mark, the muscle's going to test weak. If it tests strong when you add something to the equation, then you know the body is like, you know what, yeah, can I have some of that, please? That's actually what we're missing. Thank you for answering my question in terms of why we have a problem.
And to appreciate that what you're offering the body is something that's based out of food. It's not based out of...
it's a food-based ingredient. It's God's first medicine. And when you give the body what it needs in the ratios that God would intend for us, because it came directly from nature... man hasn't interfered with it in any way, shape, or form, then the body's going to do exactly what it's supposed to, and the body does.
And that's really great. Well, this has been a great conversation to have with you, Doc Rick. I'm sure that people out there who are listening to the show and may have their own health issues, their own things that they may be struggling with, may want to be able to reach you. Once again, can you tell us what your phone number is and your email and your website so we can have the ability to reach out to you?
Well, I'm going to go in the reverse order. The website is spineboy.com. That's spineboy, S-P-I-N-E-B-O-Y.com. If you go to spineboy.com, the website is truly for you, the listener. There's a wealth of information there. Within as little as three clicks, you can typically find exactly what you're looking for. You can email me if you're having difficulties with that. That's at docrick@spineboy.com, docrick@spineboy.com. Or you can call me directly and let's have a conversation. I'd love to talk with you. The best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone, which is area code 845 845- 561-2225. I give you that phone number because I want to be able to talk with you and I want to help you get the answers that you need. So email me, call me, go to the website, do some poking around, get some research under your belt, and let's have a conversation and let's get you back in the game of life and get you off your health concerns. So I want to thank you, Mark, for putting this show together. I want to thank you, listener, for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might.